Now, the issue with hedgehog inhibitors is that they are not the most easily tolerated drugs to take, and the adverse events associated with sonadegib, these are really class effect for hedgehog inhibitors. Patients will complain of muscle spasms, hair loss, dysgeusia or abdominal discomfort, nausea, etc. So really GI-like symptoms that can develop, and these can really be, unfortunately, quite dose-limiting, meaning that patients will have a difficult time maintaining oral hydration and food intake in the context of these drugs, and it's very much the case that sometimes drug interruption is required or treatment holiday because patients just have difficulty tolerating it out over an extended period of time.
Anything particularly typical about the muscle spasms? When do they occur, and is there anything you can do about it?
I think that managing the muscle spasms is really a patient per patient sort of thing. We see people who actually take this drug and don't get them at all. When we see other people, though, they have them quite dramatic. And so we recommend NSAIDs. We recommend trying to sort of sometimes take just short treatment breaks, and exercise can sometimes help with those as well.
Any comment about this issue of survival?
These were not randomized controlled studies that have led to the approval of these agents, so it's been an open question and a debate in the field about the long-term efficacy of hedgehog inhibitors. And multiple case series have been presented and really compared with historical series to try to make the case that there is an impact on long-term survival. The Kaplan-Meier estimate for overall survival in the vesmodegib clinical trials demonstrated a one-year landmark survival at about 85%. If you take the largest series from the literature, we would expect only approximately 50 to 60% of patients to still be alive at 1 year. So while these are not a randomized and direct comparison, it does appear that there's a benefit to those patients who are taking hedgehog inhibitors in terms of improving overall survival.
I don't know how often in your own practice you actually see a patient or you treat a patient with one of these agents. Have you had patients like in the last year or so die? What do people die from? Do they get mets?
There, unfortunately, are a couple of different scenarios for patients who have locally advanced basal cell or squamous cancers. One can be that the locally invasive aspect eventually can become metastatic, and that most commonly leads to lung metastases, somewhat like a sarcoma or a head and neck cancer, where eventually just the tumor burden overwhelms the patient. But also very commonly, unfortunately, are the problems with management of the local invasion of the lesion. So I have a patient that I'm remembering who had a basal cell on his temple, and unfortunately that lesion was quite aggressive, eventually eroding into his skull. And so management of that area was very difficult. It became a radiotherapy refractory lesion, and that area would eventually get infected. And we had the person on long-term antibiotics, and eventually you have breakthrough even with the antibiotics, and you get meningitis, et cetera, and you can really lead to sort of infectious consequences for these patients.
You know, I've heard from a lot of people about the challenges of using these drugs. You mentioned the toxicities and the fact that it's pretty hard to keep people on them for a really long time, trying to use intermittent treatment, et cetera. But is there also evidence that they actually develop sort of a pharmacologic resistance, or is it just you can't get the hedgehog inhibitors into them clinically?
No, it's very much the case that resistance will eventually develop, and then the median time on treatment for most patients is less than a year, and that's actually, generally speaking, due to treatment resistance. Often what will happen with these drugs is that patients will have a complaint about, you know, how they're having difficulty with the drugs, and you take a treatment break, but the tumors will come back, and therefore the patients are more amenable to try to find a way to fight through. Eventually, unfortunately, however, similar to many, if not all, targeted therapies, we do eventually see treatment resistance, and at that point, then the disease usually takes off and starts to grow much more aggressively.